I forgot to get the lapel, Bobby. I guess we'll just do it with this. Really good to have Andrea playing the piano again. Turn your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 6. I was thinking about what to share this morning, and for some reason, the Lord's Prayer came to mind. And as I was looking through my notes, I keep record of when I preached what and where and all that, and I show here that several years ago, I'm going to say probably in 2015, I preached this on a Sunday night. And I'm just going to assume here that no one remembers that. And for some of you that weren't here then, you're certainly not going to remember it. So, prayer is, without question, beyond a shadow of a doubt, vital for a Christian. I don't care which way you spin it. You cannot be a Christian if you don't pray. Oh, you might be able to miss a few days, come back to prayer, but if you live a life consistently and do not talk to God, you are not going to be a Christian. This is impossible. Jesus' disciples asked him, show us how to pray. And Jesus gave them this example in a Sermon on the Mount, and it has been used so many times and in so many ways in different venues, and it's very popular. And why shouldn't it be? Jesus Christ prayed it. So I'd like to do something a little bit different. You have your Bibles open in Matthew 6, but I don't want you to look at it just yet, because all of you should have this memorized, I would hope. And together, I just want us to quote this or pray it aloud. And then after that, I'm going to go down phrase by phrase and work through it. So join with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'm just curious, how many of you grew up in a church where they closed their prayers every time with the Lord's Prayer? Darlene, anybody else? Larry? Does anybody know why? What was the reason for that? I know some Church of the Brethren still do it. I know it was tradition, but I often wondered what caused it or what started it. So I'm going to take this phrase by phrase and see what we can learn together about this famous prayer. And I want you to keep your Bibles open, obviously, starting with verse 10. And follow along with me. Well, actually starting in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. And commentators state, and I'm not sure how many years this goes back, whether it was at the time this was printed, which I don't think it would have been. I want to say maybe early church, but I'm not 100% sure. But commentators state that at one point in time, church officials and church leaders gave people written prayers as something for them to follow or read. There are various forms and types, and some of them were quite lengthy. I am not one to appreciate someone else telling me what to pray. That's a conversation between me and God, and therefore a written prayer to me seems very robotic and impersonal. I'm not saying it's wrong to write out a prayer, because I have done that, say, for weddings or for funerals, just to give me a guideline of what I want to say in the prayer. But when it becomes legalistic and you're trying to please someone by what you're saying or impress people with your words, then it's not prayer anymore. It's a performance. And this coincides with what Jesus is saying in the previous verses about not praying to be heard for their much speaking. He makes a point of this, and then he gives us his short version, but simple, powerful prayer example. And notice he doesn't say, pray exactly like this. He just says, after this manner, pray. In other words, this is the attitude that you should be praying with, but you don't need to use these exact words. Our Father, which art in heaven. And there's three things I want to note here. First one is our, collectively. It doesn't say my, it doesn't say you, it's our, and it's significant. God is Father to many. And we need to view prayer as a group effort. You know, we have to spend time praying to God by ourselves. That's vital. But we also need to realize there's strength in numbers. And how many times have you been through a situation, and Susie just talked about it, and you were just overwhelmed by the prayer support you had while going through it? We are in this Christian walk together. We need each other. We need each other's prayers. Our Father. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you're struggling with a burden, it's okay to talk to others about it and get their prayer support. In fact, it's necessary. It's a lesson I had to learn, and I have to keep learning it. Because sometimes it's like, I don't really want to tell them what's going on, because why would they want to know about my problem? But I want to tell you, I want to know about your problem, so I would expect you'd want to know about mine. It goes both ways. And then the second word is Father, our Father. And the word Father indicates a close relationship. A father is someone that you should be able to share your deepest emotions, and you shouldn't be afraid of their response. At least that's how it's supposed to work. And I understand in this society it isn't always that way. But God is our Father, and we can share anything with him and trust him completely. Because he's our Father, and our Father loves us, and he loves his children. And then the third phrase in there is in heaven. And that gives the impression of grandeur, of splendor, of majesty, power, might, things that we just can't understand, and they're just too big for us. So you and me, all of us, we have a Father, a compassionate, loving, tender Father who is in heaven, a place that's just beyond our wildest dreams. And we're talking to him. And have you ever thought of it that way? We're praying to our Father who lives in heaven. It's pretty incredible. Then the next phrase is, hallowed be thy name. The whole time we're praying, we need to remember that we're praying to someone who is holy, and there is far, far too little respect shown to God today. And we need to remember who we're praying to. I know personally through tough times, sometimes all a person can say is the name of Jesus and you can't think of anything else to say. And I can tell you that emphatically when I thought I lost my wife, that's all I could say was the name. I think I said, oh God, or oh dear Jesus, or something like that. And sometimes just whispering his name is all you need to do. Think of the songs, at the name of Jesus, sin's chains are broken and captives set free. At the name of Jesus, all of hell trembles and Satan must flee. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Whisper the name of Jesus and things will happen. Are we showing the proper reverence due to his name? Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. It's commonly agreed that this word kingdom is referring to reigning. In other words, we should be praying that the gospel is proclaimed in all the lands and the Lord might be able to reign in all the hearts. And we obviously know that that's not completely going to happen because there is a hell and people do choose to not follow after God. But we should be praying to that end. Our attitude should be like Christ, that we don't want anyone to perish, but that all should come to repentance. And are you praying that others come to know him? And I'm not saying that as a trick question, because, well, of course I pray for the lost and the needy. And But seriously, have you ever asked yourself, am I praying for lost souls? Because I ask myself that question. I'm not sure that I'm following through with that like I should be. Oh yeah, I pray for maybe someone I know that needs to come to the Lord, but am I praying for other lost souls that I don't even yet know? We need to ask the Lord to help us develop a greater burden for the lost. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We know that heaven's a perfect place. Obviously, if someone isn't obeying the will of the Father, then they get thrown out of heaven. We see that with Lucifer and his angels. So we know in heaven, everything there and everyone there, every being there, is obeying the Father and doing his will. They are doing it happily, and they are glad to do it. And that should be our prayer while here on earth. If everyone would develop the desire to happily please the Lord in everything they do, we should pray that there would be a willingness to share the gospel so his kingdom can come, as mentioned earlier. And one thing to note, we might as well not pray this request if we're not willing to live it out in our own lives. Give us this day our daily bread. And there's two aspects of this I want to consider. The first is obviously physical nourishment. You know, most times, and this is what I think most people think of, but there's another twist to this that I think actually may be more accurate. But usually we think of physical nourishment and provision daily needs here. When we pray for things, are they things we need? Are they daily bread? Or are they just extras? We as Americans have a very rich view of what our necessities are, right? Because if we don't live in a four-bedroom home with two cars and possibly a beater just to save gas money, you know, we're probably in poverty, right? And if we don't have the nicest phone and the best of this, you know, we're living in poverty. It's just our American culture has developed that. We're definitely spoiled if we compare ourselves to others in the world. So are we praying the Lord will supply our needs, or are we praying for lavish wants and desires? But the other aspect I want to present here is a spiritual one. And I've read this in several commentaries, and I hadn't really thought about it this way, but I like the idea. We are to pray that the Lord will give us the daily grace, our daily spiritual bread, that we need for that day. Dear God, give me the grace and strength to do your will, you know, to pray for others and help your kingdom come and all that. Not grace for tomorrow, but for today. And obviously, if we pray for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done, then we're going to need to ask God to give us the grace to fulfill that and the empowerment to fulfill that. And one thing I noticed after studying this closer is that there's no mention for physical provision anywhere else in this prayer. It's just here. And so it makes sense that this would actually be talking about a spiritual grace, a spiritual daily bread. But either way you look at it, it's still true to pray, or to not pray for once. It's true to pray for our needs as well. It was just an interesting thought, you know. Daily bread, we need spiritual food. And I thought that was good. You know, we pray for our daily spiritual grace to get through each day. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I'm going to read this in the JNUV, that's the Japheth Nell Unauthorized Version. Lord, forgive me just like I'm forgiving others. That kind of puts it in perspective, doesn't it? That kind of hurts, doesn't it? Like, wow, ouch, am I really doing what I should be doing here? Later on in the chapter 14 and 15, it says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And I'm reminded of the story of that king who, you know, forgave his servant that whole big boatload of debt because his servant said, I can't pay it. So then that servant went out, and the fellow friend that owed him a few pennies, he threw him in prison because you can't, well, not going to have that. Think of all the Lord has forgiven us from and of, and why is it so hard then for us to forgive others at times? When we put it into that light, it seems almost silly. But it doesn't make forgiveness any easier. Forgiveness can be very difficult, but we need to remember it's not an emotion. It's not a feeling, it's a decision. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man has a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. And you look through Scripture, you can find a whole bunch more about forgiveness and love and repaying what God has done for us. The condition for being forgiven is forgiving. Something to think about. And lead us not into temptation. Well, the first question I would raise is, does God tempt us? James 1:13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. And after studying this, I'm going to attempt to give you my best interpretation of this section. God doesn't tempt us. God doesn't purposely bring something evil into our lives to cause us to sin. Okay, that's not happening. But he does allow things to come into our lives. Commentators have stated that this phrase also means that we're petitioning God to not allow us to go through an adversity or a trial or hardship. Many times in Scripture, when temptation is used, it's a struggle. It's a hard time. So the best way I can think of rewording this is, Lord, protect me from hardships and give me the strength to resist temptation. And I realize I gave a really quick rundown of that. And honestly, this section right here is probably a sermon series, if I was to be honest with you. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And if the Lord doesn't see fit to keep us from what we requested, then, Lord, please deliver me from evil. And I've mentioned many times, it bears repeating here, but God sometimes allows things in our lives to mold us, to shape us into what he wants us to be. And one thing that John Helfrich would say to me different times is, don't ask the Lord why, but ask him what. Not why are you doing this, but what are you trying to show me? So, Lord, if I need to go through this, then please help me through it and help me not to fall prey to Satan's tricks, because any time through hardship, Satan's going to try to get us down and try to get us to give up. But we need to ask the Lord, I need your special strength through that time. Deliver me from evil. 1 Corinthians 10:13, we all know that verse about no temptation has taken you but is common to man, but God is faithful and will give us a way to escape it. As we see in this verse, God hasn't promised that we won't have temptation. How would we grow spiritually if we didn't have to experience them? But he's promised us that he will give us the strength to bear and get through and resist. And that's a very special promise. We don't have to give in to that. And the last phrase, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And I thought about splitting this up into phrases, but it really just goes together. Everything we look at, everything we touch, it's all God's. Everyone and everything is part of his grand plan. And if we could just get this through our heads, that everything we do should ultimately be for God, it takes the pressure off of us, because we don't have to be working for men's applause. We're working for God. And it's his kingdom we're trying to build. Anything that we ever accomplished, or anything we're going to accomplish, it's only through the power of God working in us and through us. And that should keep us from getting a big head. Look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. No, God gave us the ability, the power. It's through him. It's through him that we live and move and have our being. And if it's through him, then all the glory should go to him. He's worthy of it, and we need to remember that. The minute we start taking credit for anything we've accomplished, we'll fall flat on our faces. And I think you could probably agree you've seen that happen. It's his kingdom, his power, it's his glory, it's all his. Forever and ever, for now and for eternity. And as I'm sure you know, eternity can go on for quite a long time. Our Father, who art in heaven, be gracious unto us. O Lord our God, hallowed be thy name, and let the remembrance of thee be glorified in heaven above and in the earth here below. Let thy kingdom reign over us now and forever. The holy men of old said, remit and forgive unto all men whatsoever they have done against me, and lead us not into the hands of temptation, but deliver us from the evil thing. For thine is the kingdom, and thou shalt reign in glory forever and forevermore. I'd like to close this morning by singing the doxology and making that our closing prayer. And I trust that that little review on the Lord's Prayer stirred something in you, just to remind us the incredible blessing of who we're praying to. Dallas, can you lead us in doxology, please?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son,